We read from James this morning. We're not going to dwell on this morning. As I read that, I am reminded also of Revelation seminars that I've been to. And we read Revelation 18 about the, you know, reward her even as she has rewarded you, Revelation 18:6, and double her double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled, fill her double. She sat gloriously and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, and therefore shall her plagues come in one day. And we read there in James, go to now rich men. You know, it's all kind of tied together into that. Go to ye rich men, weep and howl. And I think, oh, that's a horrible thing to have a little bit of money. It's not money. It's not the problem. And that, I think that's not what James is talking about. I'm thinking he's probably talking more in the context of Revelation 3. You think you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, but your gold is cankered. You need to buy gold from me. You need to buy your garments from me. Here it says your garments are moth-eaten. The husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. He's looking for us, the precious fruit of the earth, to grow into something that he can harvest. The harvest is ready. Put in the sickle. Isn't that what he says? The harvest is ready. Put in the sickle. Be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Last week we talked a little bit about the Sabbath, and I thought I would continue that just for a little bit today. May not keep you long, but just had some thoughts on the book of Hebrews. So why don't we look there in Hebrews. We'll start with Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 9. There remaineth a rest to the people of God. The Lord's rest. It's more than the Sabbath. It is the Sabbath. And I think here in the Hebrew or in the Greek, the way it's translated, therefore remaineth a sabbatismos, a keeping of the Sabbath. And there's the translation from the Aramaic that actually puts it that way into the English. There remaineth therefore a keeping of the Sabbath to the people of God. It's not just a Sabbath over there. It's not just any day, one day in seven. That's not what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about the Sabbath. It remains. And whose Sabbath is it? Is it our Sabbath? Well, up in verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Whose rest? It's the Lord's rest. It's not our rest even, it's the Lord's rest. And the rest that he says that we should come to is not something to which we should look forward. It's something that we can enjoy today, in the present. It's a rest that remains. It has existed from the seventh day of creation. It remains from all the way back yonder, 6,000 years. It's never been withdrawn. There remaineth, therefore, a keeping of the Sabbath for the people of God. Evidence of that truth is found in the fact that the rest that has been given to us is the Lord's rest. And his rest never ceases. He entered into his rest. You remember over there in Genesis, he finished all his work, and then he ceased his work on the end of the sixth day, and then he rested. And that rest is an eternal rest. Resting also implies labor. Because there, in what we mentioned last week, Matthew 11:28, a text that you are familiar with, come unto me, all ye that labor. We are laboring. We labor, work hard all the time, and we accumulate, what we read there in James, accumulate all these riches, we think. And I'm not, again, not talking about money. But we accumulate all this spiritual wealth in all of our labor that we do. And we talked about that somewhat in Sabbath school this morning. What prevented the priests and the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and whoever all else was there from receiving Christ? Well, they piled up all this stuff. They had built up all of their own righteousness, and they could not enter into Christ's rest because of it. And James says, you pile all this stuff up, you're going to have to divest yourself of your riches. They were not willing to do that. We labor. Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Jesus says. How long has this rest been finished? It's been ready. How long has it been ready for us? Verse 3, here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. A finished work implies rest also. When the work is done, you rest. The seventh day of the week is God's rest. It's His Sabbath. It's the sign or seal of a creation that is finished, a work that is finished, complete and perfect. You remember there in Genesis 1:31, the last verse there in Genesis chapter 1, where God looked at all the things that He had made, and He said, not only is it good, He said, it is very good. My work is finished. It is very good. And then He rested from His work which He had made. From that time, from the close of the sixth day, God's rest had been ready for man. And at that time, God gave His rest to man. And man, on his first day on this earth, he rested. That was God's call to man. It was God's command to man to rest. And I think as we read there, He actually caused the man to rest. Man was put into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, to cherish it, to watch over it. Now Eden, the word Eden means pleasure or delight. But sadly, that man did not continue in the rest that God had given him. He disobeyed the word of God, and by his disobedience, he lost the rest that had been given to him. And God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and you've eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it, and all the days of thy life thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground. Now man chose to work. It wasn't God-given. He chose to work, like we read there in James chapter 5. You pile up stuff. It's all your work, all your labor that Christ says, come unto me and rest. All you who labor, come to me and rest. Well, the man at that time chose not to rest. He chose to work. And in spite of the curse of sin on the earth, God's rest remained. Now, man didn't enter into that rest, but the rest remained. The Sabbath, the perfect rest of the newly created earth, was left to man as an evidence of God's completed, finished work, and that God had not cast man away. So every time we come to the Sabbath, every week when the Sabbath comes to us, we are reminded that God has not cast us away. It was also God's pledge of the rest in the earth made new. This perfect Sabbath rest, the seal of a new creation, remains, and it's found only in Christ. In Him, we read in Colossians 1:16, in Him were all things created, all things created. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And when Christ does something, He does it right. Well, since man lost his rest only by sin, he recovers it only by the righteousness of Christ. There's no other way. We can't come up, like in Revelation 3, we can't come up and say, look at my garments. James tells me my garments are full of holes. What good is that? The only way that we can recover our rest is through Christ. However, God's rest does not imply a long period of idleness. God has been working. He entered into His rest, yes, at the end of creation. But He says, Jesus says, my Father works. What's God doing? He says, my Father works. I work, even though I'm resting, I'm working. Christ works by the means of His Word. And we've been given this word, and we should be familiar with this word because in it we find Christ. Yes, he comes to us, comes to us, comes to us. He pleads with us constantly. But in this word, we find Christ. And by his word, things happen. We hear of all the, you know, you read the Gospels and the immediacy of the things that happened when Christ spoke. And the word was, and things happened. And in the creation story, again, we can't get away from Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis 1:1, like we mentioned this morning. In the beginning, God created. And as we read through the story there in Genesis chapter 1, God created by the word of his mouth. And in Psalm 33, isn't it? 33:6 or 9? By the word of his mouth were all things created, were the heavens made, and all the host of them. God's word works. And if we will allow that word to work in us, we can also find rest from our labor. Rest from all the toil that we put into our lives. For we are his workmanship, we read in Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ to good works. Let's look at the book of Galatians. We're here in Hebrews. Let's look at Galatians. Go back just a few pages. Galatians chapter 3. In all that the Savior calls us for, and he teaches us, when he invites the weary to come to him for rest, he immediately adds, don't just stop laboring. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And working yoked up with him, we find that he works in us. It's not our work. It's not the things that we pile up, but he works in us. His works are all done by his word. And if we, like that weary one that comes to Christ and are willing to lay down our burdens and give heed to every word of God, we also will do the works of God and find the rest. Well, here in Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 13, we read that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree, or every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Why was it that Christ became a curse on the tree? Well, the answer is right here, that the blessing of Abraham might come on us, might come on the Gentiles through Christ. That blessing of Abraham comes on you and me, and he redeems us from the curse of the law. So the blessing of Abraham, what is the blessing of Abraham? What came to Abraham? What was the blessing that came to him? Christ was going to be through his line. And something happened by faith.
Well, interestingly, this Bible has a reference to Zechariah 12:10.
Really, what we just read this morning. Righteousness that comes by faith. Abraham was declared righteous by faith. So the blessing of Abraham is not, you know, he had a lot of cows and sheep and things. That wasn't the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham is righteousness that comes only by faith. And Christ, it says here, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on who? On the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive who? That we might receive the Spirit through faith. Christ died that you and I may be made righteous by faith. It is an awful thing when a man will rob Christ of the very thing for which he died. And what James tells us is that we pile up all this stuff and we're trying to get righteousness by our own means. We rob Christ of the very thing for which he died. And that's a sad thing. It's an awful thing when we do that. Christ is made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on us, that we might receive what? The promise of the Spirit through faith. Then when we, as a body, We as a people, we as a church, have received the blessing of Abraham. What happens then? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That the blessing or the promise of the Spirit comes through faith. The outpouring of the Spirit comes upon us. And when the individual believes Jesus Christ and obtains the righteousness which is by faith, then the Holy Spirit, which is the circumcision of the heart, the new heart that we read there in Ephesians chapter 2, a new creature, the circumcision of the heart is received. And when the whole people as a church receive the righteousness that comes only by faith, the blessing of Abraham is there. And what is there to hinder the church from receiving the Holy Spirit? Not a thing. There are some here who have been reading, what is that, The Oil Crisis. There's another book. Is it The Oil Crisis? Whatever. Is that, you know, one that we've been passing around here a little bit? The Oil Crisis. There's another one. It's on our website. It's called The Golden Oil. Excellent study on the work of the Holy Spirit. You download it and you read it on your little device things. The Golden Oil. It's an excellent study on the work of the Holy Spirit. But God is working among us. And He sees us and He says, come unto me, all you that labor, trying to build up your own righteousness and are heavy laden. He says, and I will give you rest. And in the book of Hebrews, Paul tells us there remaineth therefore a rest. It includes the keeping of the Sabbath. It's not just laying off your burdens, but God says it's time for you to do something else. Come together, worship together. This is a good thing that we're doing here this morning. It's a good thing because God's rest is here. It's on this day. It's with us. We've talked about that man in Acts chapter 3. You know, we're right there. What is there to hinder us walking and jumping and leaping and praising God? What is there to hinder us from receiving the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? What holds back the outpouring of the Holy Ghost? What is it among us? The same thing that prevented the children of Israel from entering into the promised land. There in chapter 3, verse 19, we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And there sat that man at the gate, beautiful for how many years, and was not healed. Our lack of the righteousness of God, which is by faith, that is what holds back the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know, we can make up all kinds of things in our own minds and say, well, you know, he did that, or she did that, or that's not me. Yeah, it is us. In a corporate way, that what we read there in Zechariah 12 this morning. What holds it back? When the righteousness of God is received, it is given in order that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Then I say, let us have faith. Let us have faith and receive the power of God. That right hand that comes down to that man there at the gate, beautiful. The righteousness of faith. Let us receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And let's be sure that we have the faith, the blessing of Abraham. Then we will receive, the Holy Spirit. And my question this morning is, will you receive God's gracious invitation to rest? Resting in Christ. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider what you have given to us in Christ, what we read there in Galatians chapter 3, that Christ was made a curse for us, that we might be partakers of his holy nature. That's not who we are, not by default, we're not. We come to you weary and laboring. But we know that you want to lift our burden. It's your greatest desire to lift our burden and give us rest. And so today we ask that you will do just that, that we will give ourselves up to you and we will find rest. So bless us now as we go out of this place, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.